Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, The Time is Short, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 35. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Great to see you here this morning. It's great to be with you as we worship our God together. A special welcome to any guests and visitors we have with us and those who are also joining us online and on the radio. We pray that you can join us again in the future. Our order of service follows Divine Service Setting 2, and we sing our first hymn, number 834.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and we done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserved your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dear friends, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. He raises the poor from the dust, and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with the princes of his people. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this third Sunday after Epiphany comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealing with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and indeed that only a fool can fail to stand in awe before our Lord. And while the fool can perhaps regard the Almighty as if he were nothing, it's the wise who stand in wonder of his power. It's the foundation of wisdom to perceive God's righteousness, his perfection, power, and might. All these things cause one to stand amazed. Wisdom and knowledge flows from this reverent fear of God. And yet, as Christians, I believe that there's so often something else that is lacking in this equation. Because although we might fear God, and although we might have a healthy reverence for him, and although we might see him as holy and as a righteous judge, even still, though, we so often don't live as such. And that's because I think we lack what David calls a heart of wisdom. We know it intellectually that God should be revered and have our respect, but we don't have the heart to carry it out. It's like the one who eats too many sweets and chocolates. We have the wisdom and knowledge that's probably not best for us, but we don't have the heart to let such knowledge shape our lives and habits. And this is where David and Solomon complement each other so well. For Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but David then gives us the key to having a heart of wisdom. For he says, "Teach me to number my days, that I may have a heart of wisdom. Give me the heart to carry out that which I already know to be true. And give me the heart to do that which I already possess the wisdom of. Teach me to number my days," David says, "that I may gain a heart of wisdom." According to David, the heart of wisdom flows from an understanding that our days are numbered. Our time on earth is rather set by the sovereign Lord. The length of a human life is limited both in its breadth and scope. And so if you want a heart of wisdom, and if you want a heart that fears, love, and trusts in God above all things, then we should view our lives as if they are here today and gone tomorrow. We should confess, along with the psalmist, that man is like a shadow. And elsewhere he calls us but fleeting images, saying, "Man is like a dream. For when the Lord arises, he will despise them as fantasies." We're likened also to grass that grows today and then withers the next. And James will later compare us to vapor in the wind. We are but a mist that's here today and gone tomorrow. We are like the morning fog and like the smoke of a fire. Scripture is full of these images, reminding us time and again that as fallen creatures who live upon this cursed ground, that we are not to get attached to this world. For all men think that men are mortal except for themselves. But it's the foolish one who lives for today and who lives for this life. This is what Paul is addressing in our epistle reading this morning. For he says in verse 29 that the appointed time has grown short. That is the appointed time in which man should live and dwell upon the earth. It's the appointed time that we should continue to live, able to work in the Lord's vineyards. It's the appointed time that God should continue to sustain in us both life and breath. It's the appointed time in which God should patiently bear with us before he brings all things in this world to its final end. The time for all these things, Paul says, has grown short. And before we address what Paul is talking about then in verses 29 through 31, I want us to first notice the last half of verse 31. For Paul says here that the present form of this world is passing away. Or as other translations will say, the fashion of this world is passing away. And it's interesting to note that the Greeks often used this very same word to refer to the various scenes in a play. It's as if Paul is here comparing life itself to the scenes of a play, saying that it's all just temporary and passing away. The present form and fashion of this world are like scenes upon which a curtain must fall and bring to a close. And therefore, the things of this world are elusive, and they shall come to its sure and final end. And this is what we need to keep in mind as we interpret now verses 29 through 30. For Paul puts before us five scenes from life, and he lists them as if each was just a fleeting moment on a stage. He lays before us a scene of a marriage, a scene of a mourner. There's one, we're told, who's rejoicing, one who's working, and one as if he were retired. And again, all of these, as Paul says, are but fleeting moments upon a stage. He says, first, may the one who is married live as if they had no spouse. And perhaps if he had the time and space to write more, he would go even farther to say that the one who has family and kids should likewise live as if they had none. And rather than Paul urging the Christian to abandonment and neglect, he's again simply just making the point. All these things are fleeting. Family and spouse are mortal. Paul himself will say elsewhere that he who does not care for his own household is worse than an unbeliever. But again, the point here is rather, why would one put their trust in something that's fleeting? Why look to spouse and home as a means to find fulfillment and everlasting purpose in life? It's but a scene upon which the curtain must fall, the curtain that brings the appointed time to a close. So why should an immortal spirit seek lasting hope upon dying joys? For surely all men are mortals, and our earthly homes are but an empty mist. And although we should in fact value our family and friends, and we should indeed see them as blessings from God, but whether we have a family or not, we live solely for the Lord. Family and friends become the vineyard in which we can serve our God. We serve family and neighbors as if serving God himself. We serve them by loving and encouraging them, and among whom we see that we can plant the seeds of the gospel. And just as quickly as it came, the scene changes again. The curtain falls and opens again to reveal a second scene now before us. Paul points to us to a different picture as we look upon a mourner. He tells us likewise that the one who mourns ought to live as one who does not. For many people, they see trials and afflictions as anything but fleeting. They live as if life is a sorrow, and they live as if all they know is what it's like to live under a heavy load, to carry the weight of grief and pain. So many mourn as if they had no hope and that their trials should have no end. But dear friends, Paul tells us that even grief is but a vapor in the wind. For the Christian, though we may mourn for a time, may we live as if we do not. The Christian will indeed weep as in life as we follow in Jesus' footsteps. We are bound to weep as the Lord himself wept. And we shall be grieved with pain and hardships as he tells us to pick up our crosses and follow him. All the faithful ones of God seem to have seasons of mourning. But Paul says, nevertheless, that we should live and mourn as if we don't. For the appointed time is short. We must not mourn or weep as if eaten up by grief. Because although weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. The curtain must soon fall and bring pain to its final end. And as the mourner weeps, may he rejoice and sing the rainbow of God's covenant close at hand. The one who suffers from affliction, may they be cheered in knowing that pain also is as fleeting as the smoke. We should be cheered in seeing that the good Father's hand in the midst of adversity. Cheered that in all trials are as divine appointments from our loving God, and that when we are tried and brought forth from our afflictions, it will be as so like purified gold that is brought forth from a furnace. And then the curtain falls again, and in the third scene, we are now confronted by someone who is rejoicing. Paul says that the one who rejoices should live as if they do not. And while there's nothing wrong with being happy and rejoicing, in fact, Christians are even commanded to rejoice. But Paul says here most emphatically, Paul does say elsewhere most emphatically himself, saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul doesn't here forbid us from expressing joy, but rather, as with others, it's a warning to not hold on to them too tightly. The things of this world that we rejoice in, we ought to hold with a loose hand. We ought to never hold on to our worldly joys as if they are all in all to us. We may have family and spouse, wealth, health, and good reputation, but it's good to always be ready to surrender them to the Father's hand if He so desired. For we have joys greater than these to come. There are better springs from which flows joy and pleasure that we are to drink from eternally. And then the last scene that I want us to focus on is where Paul tells us about him who is buying and selling. He says that the man who is working in his business shall work as if he has none. And like the others, it's not inherently bad for a Christian to be successful or to work and trade well. And in fact, the Christian certainly should not act foolishly nor give any reason for mockery. But in light of the falling curtain, we should view our business dealings rightly. With the closing of the appointed time, we should see our workings as if they were only a temporary shadow. For this is not the way that men and women get truly rich. Lasting and meaningful wealth is found only beyond this present world. For true treasure is kept nowhere else than in heaven's domain. For there neither moth nor rust destroys, nor do thieves break in and steal. This is why Paul says that the one who has dealings with the world should live as if he has none. And all this, Paul has shown us that in everything in this life is temporary. Whether family, sorrows, joys, or work, all is passing away. In a moment's time, the curtain can fall without warning and notice, and we shall see with our very eyes the fleeting reality of all these things, for it shall prove all like a morning fog. Our hearts belong not to the things of this world, but rather to Jesus Christ, our God. Understanding this reality and taking it to heart is how we truly gain this heart of wisdom. For the only thing that has significance are the things that are founded in God. With a heart of wisdom, may we be led to dig up those buried talents and again put them to good use to serve the Lord in His kingdom, spreading His good news, loving our neighbors as ourselves, living sacrificially for those around us and especially of those of our own households. In this, we have meaning because we belong to Jesus Christ. He has purchased and won us from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. With His precious blood, He brought you into His eternal kingdom. Christ died once and for all the death that we ourselves deserved. And He has thus assured us that we should never die ourselves, but that we have an eternal reality with Him. For to die is gain, Paul says, for then we shall be forever with the Lord. The one in Christ shall live forever, even though he dies. For the work of Christ, dying on the cross, gives you an eternal future with him. By grace through faith, we look forward to the close of the curtain upon this life. The final and last hour is coming, and we need not fear, nor do we need to grieve its coming. For the eternal home that God brings is paradise. It's a new heavens and new earth that shall have no end. There we will have our eternal family of brothers and sisters in the faith. We shall have all our sorrows wiped from our eyes. We'll have unending joys poured into our hearts and a priceless business dealings as we worship our great God forever to life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We sing our next hymn, number 511. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Eternal Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are bringing us to an eternal paradise with you. We thank you for giving us your dear Son to die for us, and we praise you for providing the means by which we can come into your presence. Grant us grace and faith by which we can lean upon your promises. Strengthen our hearts and minds that we may trust solely in you and in the sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross for us. Give us assurance that in Christ we are accepted, loved, cherished, and eternally blessed by you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Father, we pray that we may be led to give up the things of this world. Convict us in our spirits that we would find lasting peace, joy, and meaning in you alone. Lead us to hold the things of this world with a loose grip and to be ready to let all things go if you would so desire them from us. And gracious Lord, we pray that you would always be enough for us. If you should take from us any earthly good that you see fit, may we find peace, joy, and love in you. In all situations, may we be content and look to the greater day when all things shall be made perfect, eternal, and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the nations and God of peace, we pray for our nation that we may live at peace with one another. Especially as your church, may we, as far as it depends on us, to live at peace with everyone. Lead us to be a forgiving and loving people. Lead us to be a faithful people who worships you alone. And lead us to live according to all that is true and good. We also pray for President Biden and for our new Congress leaders. Be with them as they lead our country. We thank you for giving us the leaders that you see fitting for us. We pray, though, that you would lead them in wisdom, knowledge, love, and in righteousness. May our leaders be moved to rule and govern us according to your holy and perfect plan. And may we, as your children, and as you direct us to always pray for our rulers, may you use them, and may they lead us in fear of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician and God of life, we lift before you all who are on our hearts and minds this morning. We lift up those who are hurting in body, mind, and spirit. And this morning we pray especially for Daryl as he continues to heal from hernia surgery and complications from blood clots. And we also pray that you would continue to look after him mightily as he now prepares for cancer treatments. And we ask that you look after him, give him strength and peace during this time, knowing that in you it is only for a season. We also pray for Ailee as she is struggling with COVID. We pray for her and for all her sick and hurting, asking that you would give them strength to get them through this. Keep them safe that they may return again to praising you in the midst of your church and congregation. We also pray for all who are on our hearts and minds this morning, who we name silently now on our hearts. Give these your servants your loving kindness and blessing. Comfort them with the knowledge that all trials are momentary, and that in you nothing compares to the surpassing glory still to come when we shall see you face to face. Comfort us and let this truth carry us in hope through all our trials. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.